What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at the Globe where the Rangers are going to host the Astros in the first of a three-game weekend set. Coming up tonight, the pregame at 6:30, the first pitch at 7 o'clock. Got some cool stuff going on. It's Optic Night tonight, co-branded Rangers Optic jerseys if you have one of those special theme night tickets. Silver Boot Series Pin Night tomorrow. Of course, all the fun on Sunday with the ice cream and all that. And a reminder, there is going to be traffic to the west of the stadium on 30 because it's going to be closed. 30 is going to be closed in Arlington between Fielder and East Chase Parkway from 9 tonight until 6 a.m. on Monday. So plan accordingly if you're heading out here. Our buddy Nick Wright, FS1, has a message for football fans upset about the red zone adding commercial breaks. He believes football shouldn't primarily be consumed via red zone. It's time that we start watching the NFL like adults, he said. He adds, you cannot be a self-respecting, diehard NFL fan if the only way you consume football is through red zone. I probably agree because red zone's not on Thursday, Sunday, or Monday night. So it's a little bit difficult. But, yeah, you know, I think the red zone is under attack. Red zone's under attack. People aren't saying that you're a real football fan if you consume the red zone. Wolchuk, Chiafalo, I know you're fans of the red zone.
Yeah.
You take offense to this?
Yeah, that's laughable. It's absolutely laughable. On a football Sunday, I'm trying to get as much as possible of the important stuff. What am I going to do, break down a random Cardinals and Jags game?
Yes.
No, that's not what what I'm here for. Now, But if there's anything important in that game, guess what? I'm going to know about it because I'm watching red zone. As you mentioned, I got Monday night, Thursday night, and whatever other friggin' night they want to go Wednesdays and everything else, I'm watching full games there. Okay, on my red zone parade.
What week can I help you with your breakdown? Would you like what week would you like to watch?
Yeah, and I have the encyclopedia here of film breakdown. If I am curious about a second and one call and Jags Panthers, guess what?
We can pull it up.
Has the answer.
We
can all 22,
yeah,
baby.
And if you play, if you pay for NFL Plus, yeah. I've got all the games there too. I can go back and watch them.
Yeah.
And I think the notion that it's just inside the 20, I get it's called the red zone. That's fake news. All right.
Yeah.
We are seeing more than just inside the 20. We do get to see how the drive got to that point.
Nice little look back.
They do a good job of doing all of that for us. So, yeah.
See, that's what.
Get off your high horse, Nick Wright.
That's what I always wondered. Great hair by Nick Wright.
He does have good hair.
But I always wondered about that because I'm one of those, how did they get in position? How did they get into the red zone? Massive penalty. Good drive, good play calling and all that. So you're telling me they do a better job of showing more of the drive?
They do, yeah, especially in the afternoon slate, the late games, because there's only two or three of them going on.
Okay.
I'm more of a three and outs and TV breaks put me to sleep. And if I don't have a vested interest like it's the Cowboys or like the Packers game this weekend, all the Packers games that I hate watching and want them to lose for a better draft pick, I have a hard time staying interested in random NFL games, and I think the red zone keeps people locked in incredibly well. Where's the idea coming from that Dak should be suspended too? I guess this is started this morning in Philadelphia media.
Of course it did.
I think he rage baited him perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Dak was an innocent party, but, you know, that's kind of the advantage of having discipline, and I think Dak does that better than anybody, is walking right up to that line, winking at the guy, smiling at him, and getting him to do something that kicks him out of the game. I don't think Carter's going to be suspended any further. Maybe a fine, but I would consider that time served if I'm the league right now.
I think a 16-game suspension should be on the table here.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if you want to go ahead and flag these guys for taunting, you get up, you flex over your opponent. Like, really set the standard here. Go ahead. There's no place for spitting on your opponent.
Make it a floating suspension.
Maybe just a banishment.
He misses the next Cowboys game, too.
See, that's what I was saying. The fact that the crime was against the Cowboys needs to be, again.
All right. I'm in favor of that. Man law.
Man law. I haven't heard a man law reference
man
in
law.
A decade.
What
is that
they
from?
They should bring it back. Was it the Bud Light commercials?
Man law. Good call.
Yeah.
Good call.
They were good ads.
But yeah, I can't remember the little jingle. It was badass. Those commercials were awesome.
Yeah, the real men of genius.
Real men of genius. That's what I was thinking. So was he playing with a loogie on his jersey all night?
I don't know.
Is that kind of the way that goes?
He probably got a little squirt of water and brushed that
and
off.
And if that's face and not jersey, I think you're talking about a healthy suspension.
Yeah.
You know, the jersey factor here is big.
Now, what do you think about the intent of Dax loogie? Clearly on the ground, I thought Carter was already in on your side of the line of scrimmage. I thought it was kind of marking the territory, but careful not to spit on him, from my understanding.
Yeah, and he executed the spit in the direction perfectly, and he didn't actually spit on him. Nobody in their right mind would take the Dak spit and then haul off and hock a loogie on the player in front of the ref. It's one of the dumber things I've ever seen in all of football.
Did you see the lip reader say that maybe Dak said to Carter, "Your boy died"?
Yeah, that was a ball sack for sure.
That was a ball sack.
Of course, like Dak's at the podium.
I can't rule it out.
Dak was just depending or sort of defending Tyler Booker, because apparently Jalen Carter was trying to get into the head of the rookie.
Okay.
Tyler Booker talking smack. Okay. So that's why Dak sort of stepped forward and kind of had the rookie's back. Like, why are you trying to get on my guy
right now? He's not going to spit on his teammates. You know, he's just got to spit over them.
And Dak has way too much couth than to dip that low in a trash talk scenario.
Next topic here is we continue to react to the Cowboys' Week 1 loss to the Eagles, 24-20. I'm overall a lot more optimistic than I was yesterday at this time, so I'm feeling pretty good. What happened with the jersey grab? I don't know if this is a hold or not. I'm trying to get educated on the rules, but to me it's clear, you know, you can kind of grab on the inside as long as the guy's trying to get behind you. They let offensive linemen get in there, right? But once you turn and try to pursue to the sideline and you still have that jersey, that is a material restriction of your path to the ball. That should be a hold, right?
That's holding, yeah.
Yeah,
that's holding.
Okay.
Yeah, they missed one on Sam Williams. They missed one on Donovan Ezeraku. They were not a big holding officiating crew.
Because Manyweather was out there doing battle with people, and apparently he says he's going to do a video with Gene Steratore or some sort of officiating guy with credibility, and you know, he was holding the line strongly against the fans that wasn't a hold. Now, maybe he's offensive line biased. Maybe Mailata's one of his guys. He was just calling that dominance. Didn't think that was the case.
I will say this, though. With Mailata, he is so big that the way you rush him is important. I mean, you can't – you've got to make him play with his body position out of whack. And there was a time where Ezeraku broke his hands down and got a quick pressure.
That was a great move.
He slapped, you know, and you're like, okay, but that's how you got to. You got to make him overextend and maybe try and tackle you. It happened to Tyler Smith, his holding call. That's a pretty easy one to call.
Yeah, that was a tackle.
Because body position was bad and all that. But if you're going to just take a guy head up and rush him, they're not going to call holding that much. You have to be on the edge of him, and they have to be able to see the hands are on the outside of the framework or pulling a jersey or hands up in the face. You have to show these officials that. But they'll let them hold all day as long as their hands are inside.
I think Ezeraku maybe heard how strong Mailata was, but needed a couple of series to figure out that I can't go straight at this guy. It's starting to look kind of silly.
There's a lot of tape of Jordan Mailata playing football, and you're talking to the old scout guy here who I've seen every one of them, and it's like, this is how you beat him. This is how if you're going to beat him, this is how you have to do it. And there's plenty of cut-ups where you could have studied him and said, okay, I can't let him get his hands on me, or he'll kill me.
Looked like Donovan had a better game as that went on, though. What would you say overall?
Yeah, I think so.
I think there's things. He had some balance problems. Did you see that?
Yeah, absolutely.
He had some balance problems. I think he was trying to actually do too much.
The spin would get him into trouble.
And it kind of got him caught into some places he didn't need to be. His best moves, when you watch him at Boston College, was attack. We saw it in training camp.
And his bend.
Yeah.
He needs to use that to his advantage.
And when he's just straight rushing guys, he's not going to win many of those.
Because when he's able to dip and rip, it's difficult for linemen to get their hands on him.
Absolutely.
And when he's going straight down the middle, which he's done too much of in the preseason, then against Mailata, especially a guy that strong, when he gets his hands on you, you're not getting off.
Not a good night for the edges, though. And I guess their tackles and Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley had a lot to do with that. And hopefully we can feel better. But maybe last night Marshawn Nealon was their best defensive end.
I think Marshawn Nealon might have been your him and Kenny Clark, in my opinion, were the two best defensive linemen.
And James Houston had the best play. Do we need to see more of James Houston?
Yeah. I would say so. I mean, only 9 snaps.
Him and Leofau, I think, earned more snaps, hopefully moving forward.
What other adjustments from week one do you want to make? Should we talk about Jaden Blue here? Would he have not gotten snatched? I was just stunned when I looked up the 40 times and saw how slow Bond was at the combine. Yeah. Like, he hulked up to run a 4.68.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, wow, that's a great time for him. Sanders is running in the mid-4.4s and gets snatched like that at 28 years old. That was bizarre, and everybody was immediately saying Jaden Blue would have not gotten caught. Maybe Jaden Blue would have fumbled. I don't know. Maybe Glenn Smith was right, and they wanted to send him a message that you got to work harder to get on this active team.
I was really surprised for a team that doesn't blitz a whole lot that this would probably be a good game. Now, they tell us that they played him because of special teams. They were playing Flannoy because of the special teams, and that's what they wanted to go with. Him and Buddy Johnson were going to be the special teams players, and so that's why Blue didn't get to play. But, you know, it's a team that doesn't blitz, it seems like to be a good opportunity to play Blue, that he doesn't have to worry about blitz pickups and things like that, if that's in fact what you're worried about.
But if I'm Jerry Jones today, I'm thinking, okay, maybe last year really sucked and this year might not be our year, but it could be if we spend some money. You know, you look at the linebackers right now, Murray and Sanborn, as I feared, they are try-hard jobbers at most.
Murray was not as good as he needed to be.
That trade might be worse than the Trey Lance trade.
Jahan Dotson on that that pass out to Shipley early in the game.
They did a great job getting numbers on that.
Oh, no, they totally did.
The Cowboys were totally mismatched.
That might have been one of the best blocks of the night, though. Dotson just de-cleating Murray.
Okay, what about the running back, Javonte Williams?
I thought he was really good.
Better than I gave him credit for.
Absolutely.
There's power in there. Yeah, there's some shiftiness and slipperiness that I didn't expect.
The power is clearly evident there.
And the vision difference between him and Miles Sanders is night and day.
Absolutely.
For sure.
But his 10, I mean, he had my favorite play of the game.
When
his
he's dragging people
down to the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
Like that was badass. That's the type of physicality this team has not had since probably that offensive line started to deteriorate.
What got figured out in the second half with the run defense, though? You know, is that the impact of Solomon Thomas and Kenny Clark? That's who I thought I noticed the most on TV.
Well, what happened is they lost their guard in that, and then all of a sudden Dallas did a much better job of, like, playing on the Eagles' side of the line of scrimmage. They were able to get across, you know, some slants. They were able to get up the field. They were disruptive. Clark against Steen was – that's power right there. You know, and that's what you kind of had to do. But much better job of when the defensive line was in gaps of linebackers being in gaps with them and making sure – that there weren't, like, there was a couple of times, like I say, Sanborn jumps underneath and he goes, he's supposed to be in B gap and he ends up in A gap, and now the ball's in, you know, he's in. They had a deal where one time Sanborn, if you'll remember the play, I think Zach or all of us will remember the play, where Sanborn's behind the line of scrimmage and then all of a sudden Barkley, like, jump cuts, like, just jumps to the side. Sanborn misses, but there's Clark right there to make the tackle. You know, and maybe if that's Mozzie Smith or somebody else, he's probably blown out of the hole, and that's like a 7 yard gain. So, you know, they did a much better job of playing the gaps and playing for each other after the weather delay.
How brutal was the fumble?
It was bad. It was
disappointing.
Yeah, it was disappointing because.
But you're right about the block.
It was Tyler Smith's man. It's your best offensive lineman. He just couldn't secure the guy, Hall, and Hall just like kind of throws him aside, and then now he's back in the tackle, and then Sanders is not really. It's kind of. It hit him from the side. He's still got to hold on to the ball, but man, it was your best lineman that got beat. That's the tough aspect of it.
And then going back and rewatching, because I know we had a call, I think it was Chip in New Mexico, and he was noting, like, after a long run like that, why don't you get Miles Sanders out of the game for
breather?
I think
it was four or five plays.
But they did.
Yeah.
Javonte Williams actually had come onto the field for a couple of snaps, and then Miles Sanders came back in. Now, I would have personally, in hindsight, it's easy to say, like, Javonte Williams had run so well in the red zone, just let him be the guy, but... Unfortunately, Miles Sanders put it on the ground, and that was one of the big reasons why he lost the game.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that thing right there, bigger than the CeeDee Lamb drops, I feel like, if I was going to weigh the why you lost. And then, you know, talking about the end of the game, Brian?
Yeah, I was just going to say, too, though, you talk about some drops. The Ferguson drop on the one he got whacked, it ended up being the penalty.
Should have been a touchdown.
That honestly, that's a ball that Jake Ferguson catches 8 out of 10 times.
Yeah,
it's just unfortunate that, you know, you could see him. He's kind of peeking. Yeah. He's kind of peeking a little bit at Blankenship, and so he's really not trying to, you know, he's trying to catch it, but you could see his eyes are not where it needs to be to go get the ball.
I like the aggressiveness from Dak. I really do. But you could have had three interceptions in that game. I mean, Mitchell had one go through his hands.
The Mitchell one was bad.
Was it Young?
That was pressure. Yeah.
I think they PFF credited Dak with one turnover-worthy play.
Yes, these were deflections. You know, they were deflections because of so many guys in the area.
Like they had Dory the one Jackson where they popped that one up.
CD, the one that Jackson knocked. Yeah,
that was scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think Dak played incredibly well. As I look at last night's game and the difference of it, it was what Collinsworth said as that drive is getting underway. Dak's probably going to have to run it at some point. And the Eagles are thinking, we're just defending against chunk plays. So to me, like that it was a great game from Dak, but what happens if he's young enough to run in those situations? And instead of, oh, I got to YOLO it, it's like, I think I can get 3 yards and make one tackler miss. You know, the throw to CD, was it a little bit too far? Yes, but, I mean, every one of Dak's other throws were just pinpoint precision, and CD could have made that play. You know, I don't know how I want to reconcile everything that happened with Dak last night, because I feel like his limitations significantly take away your ability to keep the defense honest.
I just kind of wish, you know, we talked about the motions and the metrics, like, oh, it was 42% for the game. But, man, it just seemed like to me there was more of it early in that game, the more the emotion, with emotion behind that. You know, they were getting guys in position to say they were going to run the trap. That was the big – they were trapping, you know, pulling, combo blocking, trying to get guys pinned and then having guys pull. You know, it just seemed like to me his first 15 were like really – like he's going after Vic Fangio here, and for two quarters, I thought he was really, really good. I don't know what happened to him after the weather delay. I just don't.
Do you got? Yeah, I don't know. Loss of focus. I mean, guys were hungry.
I don't know.
Blood sugar.
I don't know what Schottenheimer. I don't know what he was trying to. I don't know what he was trying to do. It came back that fourth down call. I'll say it again. I think that's the best call he had in that since the weather delay.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything that made me feel like, you know, that they were really getting, okay, well, hey, we've got to do something really kind of creative here to get things going again.
They definitely seemed like they lost their rhythm. That one, like, negative 3 yard play to CD.
Yeah.
That was one of those where I think that they wanted to try and get the defense going one way and then come back side.
Yeah.
But the Eagles sniffed it out. And I think it was a busted play.
Yeah.
I don't think somebody didn't do the right thing because it just looked in shambles.
Well, they had a handoff, too, where Steele got beat inside.
Yeah.
Like they it was the only time that I really saw the Eagles move their front. And as they moved it, and I mean move it as into the gaps, every one of Dallas's guys were, you know, lunge, and then especially Steele. And then what happened is Booker couldn't help Steele because he was kind of out of whack. You know, usually sometimes if a guy gets beat inside, they can kind of help their buddies. But, man, it ended up being a negative play.
All right, it's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. C-Notes coming up next. One Dak angle on last night's game that I haven't heard discussed so far. I'll tell you where I'm going with that. We'll get Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40, and we're back here live at the Globe getting ready for Rangers-Astros.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. 5 DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
From the Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening every day at this time. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online at frankelfirm.com. Yeah, Rangers Astros, little silver boot action. Pregame coming up at 6:30. First pitch at 7 o'clock. I wish there was something. You know, I had a solution to offer here, guys, but I'll tell you my frustration with the way the game ended last night. As frustrating as the interceptions or the fumble and the drop passes were, what do you do when the defense wants you to throw a 50-50 ball down the field and you only need 3 yards? And if you hit the 50-50 ball, best case scenario is that you score with like a minute and a half remaining on the clock. I don't know if Dak can check out of that play. I don't know if you should just not throw it. But that reminded me of Tony Romo to Dez Bryant in 2014 against the Packers. Like, what is the big plan here? That comes down to game and clock management. So we need 3 yards. I get sending the guy down the field, right? Let's clear things out. Let's threaten them with that. But they're putting it one-on-one. And Collinsworth even said, we're going to get a one-on-one ball here. CD's probably going to get left alone. And it happened. It played out in the next 5 seconds. And I'm thinking, man, that's what the Packers want you to do, because they're thinking, probably you're not going to get it. We're throwing it way down the field. This is less than 50% once you're 35, 40 yards down the field. If they do get it, that, you know, we're not done. We have life. What can kill us right now is if they use all 2 minutes and 45 seconds or 2 minutes and 30 seconds left on the clock, whatever it was, to get a touchdown, one first down at a time. That's worst case scenario.
So I don't think I'd bang a timeout there. But if I'm Shoddy and we're coming up to the line of scrimmage, I'm like, okay, fourth and three. If they give us this, we ain't taking it. We're not throwing the ball down the field. Do you guys think that's a crazy idea?
I don't think it's crazy. I had a similar thought that you did there. And
when the ball's in the air, I'm like, this is
they're really
all over again.
Yeah, yeah.
They're begging you to take this because it gives them outs. To start with, better than coin flip chance you don't complete it and get a first down.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I do think Dak has the authority. I mean, you saw him all night long checking out of plays and moving guys around and switching things up. So I would think Dak absolutely has that authority. And I guess they just always love the idea, if you're going to give me one-on-one with a guy like CeeDee Lamb, I'm going to go for that. I think that's just something that they feel super confident in. But I'm with you that at that point in the game, you need the 3 yards, just get it, and eat more clock on your way to going for the score.
And he was under pressure again, you know. So I don't know if once the play is in motion, if he had any other choices. I guess you could float it and hope Turpin clears. Looked like Ferguson was coming behind him. If maybe he'd stepped up in the pocket and looked to the other side, he would have saw Ferguson coming over the middle of the field as well for the first down.
Well, they needed Turpin initially. Like, my thought watching it before I went back and saw the All-22 was just go underneath to Turpin. And if he sits down, he's open, and he's going to get that. Instead, Turpin kept going, and I don't think Dak really had any intention of going to anybody but CD on the play. And in fairness to him, like, CD was open. It should have been they should have hit it. It could have been a touchdown, possibly, if he doesn't overthrow it by a yard to where CD's now got
to. You split the difference on that throw and Ferguson's throw. Ferguson's a little bit longer, CD's a little bit shorter.
And the Ferguson one, I mean, maybe if he had
a
little bit more time. Absolutely. Agree, 100%. Yeah, if he doesn't, he underthrew that one, and then he overshot that one with CD. So, like, I thought going underneath to Turpin was the play. Going back and watching it on the All-22, the way Turpin just kept running it, there's a linebacker right there.
Yeah,
I could understand that scaring off Dak.
What happened on the play, though, too, is they're going to try and rub it. I mean, they're going to try and pick it.
Yeah.
And really, DeJean does a really nice job of fighting through. It's really not – it's not the, like, this violent pick that we've seen, you know, down the goal line where guys turn and then all of a sudden – there's a collision, and then the guy's open. Really, you didn't get much help from Pickens on that, because DeJean was able to fight and work around it, and then he was able to grab Lamb and slow him up from getting to the ball.
Yeah.
So if it's clean, maybe Lamb doesn't even have to dive, but he has to dive because he gets held up. Pickens really didn't help him much coming off the line to kind of get that pick. He could have slowed up and made a collision right there with DeJean and then got Lamb up the field, and it might have been clean. The thing with Turpin, and I thought the same thing initially coming across.
Yeah.
They bring Bond. He comes on the blitz.
Yeah.
They fake. Campbell fakes like he's coming on the blitz, and he drops. So what happens is he's at, like, the A-gap depth, and he's now – he attacks and then backs up, and that's right into
that where Turpin was
right.
Half.
Right where
Turpin. Now, if Turpin sat down, then he'd have been okay, but he didn't do that.
Turpin sees it clear and he's going to go all the way across, but in reality, he gets fooled by the linebacker Campbell dropping back.
Yeah.
So his looks muddy, but it looked like to me the way Steele gets beat right off the jump, too, at right tackle.
I thought on that play, going back and watching it, Dak made the play that he needed to make. I thought CD was open, and if he doesn't get held up, and if the ball's just a yard shorter,
the mesh,
that's connected. And who knows what happens after that.
Yeah, the mesh of where they're running the pick, it's almost like the guys were on this, you know, you got Lamb who's a little bit back, and then all of a sudden you get a situation where Pickens – he's got a situation where he's got to make sure he gets that guy taken care of. Is, you know, because that's the whole idea. They're trying to rub that thing to throw DeJean off. He doesn't get thrown off.
Okay.
I mean, that's a problem.
Up next here on the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening, Patrick Walker has given us standout performers from week one. Dak, the first one, no doubt. A really good game, maybe one of his best ever. Javonte Williams, running back one. Marshawn Nealon, we've already talked about him. Brada said
probably your best edge player. Then we get to offensive line, Tyler Guyton and Tyler Booker. Guyton gave up, I think he was credited for 5 pressures against him. That's not good. What do you think overall? Did you get a chance to zero in on the rookie Booker or the left tackle Guyton?
Yeah, I think where Booker has problems, it's always going to be if somebody tries to move him. If somebody, if it turns,
the stunts.
Yeah. And that was a problem. That was a problem in training camp when there were stunts going on. You know, he's just not accustomed to seeing. I know it's Alabama and big time football and all that, but the NFL, you get a lot more of those twist games up front.
Yeah.
And where he's had problems is that he gets a little bit overextended, and then those guys are able to get around him. I think that there was times. I thought your worst, or your, well, shouldn't say the worst, but the lineman that played the poorest was Steele.
I agree.
Yeah,
so
brutal. Brutal.
Steele was the poorest, and then all of a sudden now you start to say, okay, where are the others? I thought Guyton was pretty good.
Especially the first half.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think he gave up the most pressures, though.
But the thing about with Guyton, and I say this, and you're not wrong, but I think with Guyton's situation of not playing any at training camp, basically,
yeah,
he's out there kind of trying to get a feel for how he needs to.
It's a great point.
How he needs to play.
Definitely.
And I'm not saying he was the best because, like I said earlier, Smith had a key miss block in the game that probably changed the game for you.
Yeah.
So it happened, but overall the offensive line. Philadelphia wants to rush 4. They had to bring more people.
Yep.
They had to. And Dallas, I thought, did a pretty good job of holding up front.
Better than last year, I think, for Guyton. It was a hell of a left haymaker that he threw there in the first quarter. I forget who caught that. But, man, that looked like 1950s football. And he definitely did not skip eating while he was out. Like, Guyton's big now. He is not a lean basketball player playing tackle. He now looks like the other offensive lineman.
He looked really good for somebody that hadn't played very much.
I agree with you.
I mean, he looked like I was expecting his like all of his techniques and stuff to just be way, way, way off, and they weren't.
Warren Sharp noted last night the Cowboys played zone 100% of Jalen Hurts' dropbacks. Only one other team played 100% zone in a game last year.
Buffalo?
Logic for the Dallas strategy is pretty cool. I don't know. He didn't say who it was.
I think it was Buffalo.
I don't know who it was either, but the logic behind it is that when you look back at last year, Jalen Hurts was dang near dead balls last in a ton of categories when it comes to versus zone coverage. And versus man coverage, he was dang near at the top of the list in major categories versus man coverage.
Yeah.
So I think that is the reason why they went
beat
that
you with
route.
His arm.
Yeah, and it clearly worked in terms of stopping them through the air. Unfortunately, first half he was just taking whatever he could with his legs. It was easy money.
Incredible job, I thought, by the defense there with that strategy, and then with the run fit adjustments they made, particularly in the second half. It's a big reason. I'm optimistic about where the Cowboys go from here after the week one. Even though they lost, they went toe to toe with the champs.
I would call
a chance to win.
Maybe the most encouraging loss that I can remember.
Yeah, probably
yeah,
well said.
The Bucks opener in 2021.
Yeah, good call. Good call.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, we're back nation here live at the Globe in Arlington. Rangers Astros coming up pregame 6:30. Krusty's Corner's coming up next, buddy. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, let's talk some more about this game. I got the all 22 broken down for you, and so does Wolchek.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. We're live at the Globe. Rangers Astros tonight. Sweet dreams made out of those first two drives last night. How sweet was that, baby?
So hot.
It was like an alternate experience universe. My mom texted me. You know, she watches all the Cowboys games from over there in Bend, Oregon. She goes, well, this is different. I was like, yes, Mom,
yeah,
it sure is.
Sure was.
Going to be a lot of fun to talk about. And speaking of that, time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that.
Thanks for all the hard work you put on this team, man. To be up till 2 last night and back at them again at 6 o'clock in the morning watching tape, you're the man.
Oh, man. It's what we do this time of year. I was curious. I was actually, when Wolchek and I got done last night at 1, I was honestly looking forward to when that film hit the box because I was like, okay, how did they not finish this thing off? You know, there's things that you wonder, like the whole thing with the fumble. Or you're like, we're talking in post-game, and I'm like, you know, God, what a terrible thing to have happen. And then you see, oh, it happened because. You know,
but linemen get beat. You got to hang on to that rock.
Yeah. No, well, but.
The TFL.
But your best guy. Your best.
That's tough.
Your best guy. And that's the part about this game last night is that it was your best guys doing things that kind of hurt you in the football game. Best guys make plays, and then best guys, when you need them to make that clutch play, then something happens that they don't. Because you're sitting there thinking like, okay, is it a backup guy? Is it somebody that it shouldn't be playing today that's causing you to not to have success?
No, it was your main guys.
It was your main guys, and that's what was really just kind of. And I said I wouldn't let this team get me mad.
Oh yeah, how long did that last?
Not long.
I don't think I was mad. I think I was
frustrated.
I was frustrated in a selfish way because I picked the 27-24 final.
Yeah, which it should have been.
And you go down there and score, and it's, you know, now you're.
Somebody picked 24-20.
Yeah.
And then you'd been double thumbing back to your chest.
Who
today.
Picked 24-20? Did you pick Cowboys?
I picked Eagles, no.
Eagles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, nice. See. Yeah, I did 27-20 Eagles.
I was thinking a pass for them to win. I was, you know, my whole day was like thinking about, wait a minute, now think about this and think about that. You know, that's kind of what I have to do. If I told you this in the game, because I was just looking at a couple of things, and we'll get into who I thought played well. But if I told you that Saquon Barkley, the metrics, he faced a stacked box in that game, 8 or more defenders, 67% of the game.
I believe it.
This was the most, more than 3 times the amount that he has faced, or he faced in 2024. Would you like to take a guess at how many yards? He had 12 carries. In those 12 carries against stack box for the Cowboys, and the Cowboys used to be a bad, they were bad stack box team last year.
Yeah, they would be
really bad.
Get through the
really bad.
Get through the first level and you were gone.
Barkley had 12 carries. How many yards do you think he had against those stack boxes?
30, 20.
27.
33. 33 yards.
It worked.
Yeah, it worked. I was surprised watching it how well it really did work.
Well, how were they able to do that and contain A.J. Brown? A.J. Brown like couldn't get open all game.
That's a great question, and I would love for Broadus to answer that. I do think part of it, man, I thought the safeties were tackling people.
Well, Malik Hooker was thumping.
I thought Hooker was coming in
and
playing
Donovan
runs.
Wilson what? Late also came up and was playing.
I'll tell you what, Diggs was a big help in that game. And, you know, to be honest with you, they needed to get Elam off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Elam,
what way? What was he doing?
Elam, they were going after. When they were trying to throw the ball, it wasn't so much at Diggs or at Bland.
Yeah, it was Elam.
It was Elam
for sure.
They were trying that.
But the one big play was on him,
right?
The dots.
Well, and if you look at that play, and I know you did.
Yeah.
What happened was, you get and you give Smith a lot of credit for running the route that he did, because he holds Hooker in the middle of the field. Hooker has to Hooker has to honor the route that he ran. He couldn't get over. And you know, there was that separation, and Elam tried to run it down. I mean, he really, really did, but never even –
he's not fast enough.
He just wasn't fast
enough. That was the fastest play of the night, I think, with him touching 20 miles an hour.
Dotson's got some serious speed. He really does.
Yep.
How would you get Elam off the field, though? Who would you play?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Diggs needs to play now. Diggs is starting, and then Bland's starting.
Oh, and then you go put Reddy in the nickel?
Well, you can even look at maybe it's a situation where, to me, I just don't start him. You know, if Reddy could be a nickel player, I would sure look at that. I mean, the things with Elam, I think, in training camp were good. There's things in the game you kind of – you're like, I see why. I see why they, you know, I see some of the separation problems. I see some of the not coming forward and tackling like you need to tackle.
Yeah, because he's going to be the mark. Like, we're talking about Adoree Jackson.
Right.
You mentioned Vaughn talking about find the scrub. Teams are going to look at Kyrie and be like, that's who we need to attack.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, real quick, too, my second little point that I want to make here, the Eagles, they had, again, 12 carries between the tackles. 12 carries. This is your factor of, with Osa, Clark,
Thomas,
Tom, all those guys, with those defensive tackles that we're all terrified of, 12 carries, how many yards between the tackles last night for the Eagles?
Man, I saw they smashed them. Let me get 25. Yeah, I would put it somewhere in there. They did a nice job in the interior.
Yeah, 20 something. I think it was like 1.3 yard per carry is the stat.
18 yards.
18 yards.
18 yards.
That's dominant.
See, that's what, you know, we talk about run defense. We say, oh, tackles, edges, linebackers, you know, but great job. I think that, you know, the Cowboys front office was bragging about Clark. He made a difference.
He did.
At run defense.
Second play of the game.
He made a big, big difference there.
One of the big reasons to feel better about this team.
Yep. Zach, I'm with you on the whole Jalen Tolbert thing. I'm just saying that. I'm not going to talk about him much.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
But they need to kind of figure out something, maybe a plan, a little bit better plan.
They need a Cole Beasley type. They need somebody who can kill you underneath consistently. And I like Jake Ferguson and the violence and the big playability, but they need a Dalton Schultz type of tight end and a Cole Beasley type of slot. They need at least one linebacker and a running back. And, well, I don't know, maybe they don't even need a running back. But if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm thinking, like, how about this deal the Eagles did where you sold 10% and you got $1 billion to pay a bunch of players? This thing is close. Use the picks, trade for help, and go contend.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking today.
I like that.
I just didn't see that Tolbert. And I wish, like I said earlier, I wish they would have got Pickens more involved in this game.
Were they decoying him?
No. They just dacked.
There would be times Pickens kind of would – was very lackadaisical on some plays.
The routes, and that's what I wanted to get into about the routes. The routes weren't what you would think. Like, I was talking about Smith running a route that helped.
To clear.
That helped his teammate, that helped Dotson catch the ball. Pickens did not run the routes. Like, it's – you got to –
A little lazy? You can tell when it's a run.
I'm glad you saw that because I didn't want to like come and just, you know, bash Pickens because like he still did some good things, but there were some stuff I'm like, are you really engaged here?
I was thinking that maybe that it was like he knew that it wasn't coming his way, but there's thing like you say the penalty he had, I don't know what he was thinking on that, but there were routes where it was not run as hard and as, you know, as you're like going, okay, he's trying to get open, he's trying to get the ball and all that. It's, and I wonder if it's one of those situations where Dak's like, okay, I got a feeling what's going on over there, you know, and I wanted him to get more involved. But the routes were a little bit of a – I think they weren't run at the level they need to be run at. Did you see anything else on that? I mean,
with I agree with you. And then even some block – like early in the game, he put somebody on his rear. I think it was a Turpin catch maybe.
A lamb. It was a lamb catch.
And he had a really good block. But then there were other times it's like he's just kind of lollygagging in there, not really wanting to make contact and engage.
Yeah.
My reaction to the penalty was I thought it was a reputation call. I think it looked much worse than it did. When they put that on the instant replay, I thought he didn't throw him down. His arms might have moved in a direction that made it look like that.
Yeah. I think they call it like clotheslining is what they call it.
Yeah.
I think they called like
up around the headgear.
Blow to the head.
That's what it looked like, I thought.
It was like I told Wolchuk, I go, my gosh, it looks like he's like bulldogging for the, you know, pro rodeo guys out here. You know, I mean, he literally, it wasn't even a block. It was just like he jumps and like kind of old school clotheslines, Reed Blankenship in the neck. And I'm like, bro, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that at all. You might get a situation like to say, I'm interested to see now what happens. We talked about the defensive tackles. I'm interested to see when Winfrey comes back. If, in fact, can he be a part? I think Jay Toia, I think, was okay.
I thought he got better as the game went on.
Yeah, it was kind of like there was – he was always seemed like to me just a half man away from making a play.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he was just a little bit more in this gap, there would have been a play. You know, and they didn't give up anything inside. But it felt like, though, that there were some times where he could have been, like, right there and made a play, but he was just a half man away from making the play.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that is something that we'll
is
see.
Is he inactive and Winfrey's active?
Exactly. I mean, maybe it's a deal where Mozzie and Jay are inactive. And then I totally agree with you guys, too, about Houston. I think Houston needs to play more in these situations because – I think a lot like Marshawn Nealon, he's good against the run, and then he could also do stuff with the pass or things. So just keep an eye on how those things will play out there. But I do like what the secondary did overall. I just feel like now that with get Diggs on the field full time again, get Bland there, maybe you find a way with Reddy Stewart. Maybe that's a little bit more of a nickel option for you that kind of gives you your best guys to be out there playing. But I thought overall – those guys played pretty well.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning every afternoon 3:40 here on your home of the Cowboys. Nick Harris, Star Telegram, joins us next year on The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out.
True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. Five DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.